is the new Windows 10 update, is that something that Windows is updating automatically? Do we have to go to Microsoft and get it?
It will get pushed out automatically, but there's no specific timetable, so you won't really know when that's going to happen. But eventually, everyone will get it, yeah.
Wonder if anybody knows of a accessible virtual private network software for Windows at the moment?
EB, are you trying to set up a VPN VPN host or a VPN client? What are you actually trying to do?
A client, like on a Windows client.
And you're on a Mac or you're on a PC?
PC.
Most of those services do actually offer a free trial, so maybe worthwhile just trying them to find out.
Yeah, okay.
Is Opera browser accessible? Because it has a VPN client built in.
Opera is based on Chromium, so the basics, the underlying system will be accessible. Yeah.
Given the fact that the conferences are all virtual this year because of COVID, does anybody know whether any of the companies are making products available to actually physically look at? I'm thinking specifically of Braille displays.
I don't know, Amy, because I think it would depend on if the company like had a rep in your area, for example.
Yeah, this is Jerry. I can tell you that New England Low Vision is open for business, so whatever they sell, I'm sure they could arrange for you to look at.
I need a new Windows laptop. The reason I have gotten one yet is because I can't figure out what would be a good one to get. And so I want to know if anyone has one that they recommend. I'd like to have a numpad, but I guess I don't really need to.
You might want to check on Lenovo. I have a Lenovo computer laptop, and it has a full keypad, including a numpad, and I've had very good luck with it.
What particular model or type or some narrowing?
About a year and a half ago, I bought a P52, but they have a number of different models. And one of the nice things about Lenovo is that you can go on the web and customize, which is what I did. But if you don't want to do that, you can call them. They have customer service people who will walk you through the different options and help you configure what you want. I paid more than I wanted to, but my computer's not the lightest thing in the world. But I will tell you, I didn't buy it just for portability, but I found them to be very reliable and they're very sturdily made. And when I purchased, which was again about a year and a half ago, the guy even extended me a discount, which technically he shouldn't have, but he did, in exchange for some information I was able to give him. So I found them to be very reliable.
You know, those are things that you want to think about, i.e. how big a screen do you want? And how light a computer do you want? Because that makes a big difference. Because the lighter the computer you get, the more money it's gonna cost you. If you get a computer that only weighs like 2 or 3 pounds.
Other thing too, you may get something that doesn't have as much power. I believe it's the next Tech Talk is going to be on considerations when buying a computer. They've got a group of panelists that are going to be talking. And sometimes I find those things helpful and sometimes not. But I think any of us could probably help you just as much. But I would say there is going to be a tech talk presentation on Monday at 8. I think that's going to address this topic. So you might want to.
And then the other question is, like, if you're looking at a multi-page Google spreadsheet, how do you navigate between the pages?
Alt. Up and down arrow.
Alt up and down arrow, or
yes,
alt shift up and
it's
down
alt
arrow?
Up and down arrow.
Alt up and down arrow.
All
okay.
The time in Google Sheets.
So I was just wondering if anybody has bought the new SE iPhone.
It's very much like an iPhone 8.
Do you know if it's the same size that the old SE was?
No, it's not.
It's bigger.
It's bigger, yeah.
With all the Zoom meetings that are going on these days, my history, they only hold 10. And of course, you have to delete the whole history if you want to just get rid of one that you didn't want. So what cool ways are you guys storing all of your Zoom meeting numbers in iDevices?
This is Jerry. I've been storing mine in a Word document because I don't know of a better way to do it.
And an iDevice, just put them in a notes file.
And then you can just tap, double tap on it, and it'll open right up into the Zoom?
No, you have to copy and paste.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Copy and paste the
URL.
Link.
One of the things you could do is you could also set up like a folder on your home screen with just links to each meeting, and I'll stay there as long as you want it.
What about looking for them in a calendar view? Like if you have do you have Outlook? Because you can see them in an active appointments view and find them that way.
I've been trying to start to learn my iPhone calendar.
That's the other way I do it. I use Google Calendar on my computer and on my phone, and I put the link in the location field. That way, when I go to it, I can just double tap on it on the phone or hit enter on it on the computer.
If you have a Dropbox, what you could do is set up Dropbox on your phone and on your computer, set up a folder in there just for links to meetings, and it'll be synchronized between the two, and you can
just copy and paste them into an email and periodically email yourself. So you've got them in your mail.
I use Outlook and I have 2010 JAWS. And when I open a very few emails, JAWS can't read them. Just it won't read them. And it actually crashes the email Outlook. JAWS will crash or crash the email and actually send me back to my desktop or something. It definitely happens occasionally. And I was wondering if anybody ran into a problem trying to open an email in Outlook.
What version of Outlook are you running?
I have 365, so I'm current. Be pretty current. It's a couple of sites, and I suspect it's the way the sites are rendering. I think one was like LL Bean. Another one was Comcast. Actually, was the first one I detected that with. I think it's a lot of image files.
But one thing that also happens a lot is that a lot of emails, HTML emails, have tracking code in them. So it calls back to the sender and says, the person opened your message. And so the sender could say, I sent out 1,000 emails and 10 of them got opened, that type of thing. And Outlook has a lot of data protection to prevent a lot of that stuff from happening. And sometimes it just chokes and crashes.
Interesting.
If you get an email which just will not open, just keeps crashing on you, without opening it, try hitting the reply button. And you'll quote the message and leave the quoted message. Sometimes that takes a lot of that stuff out.
If you turn off the screen reader, it doesn't happen. But it happens with JAWS and with Narrator. You know, first started, and I got to some elevated Windows support people. And they tried a bunch of things, and they couldn't fix it. And then they finally did, it seemed like. And then it started up again. And just recently, it doesn't happen anymore. And you're exactly the way you describe it is... It's just certain messages, and it seemed to depend if there was some HTML in the first line of the program. But it was tied to screen readers. You turn off your screen reader, I have enough vision to be able to test it.
Exactly.
And it doesn't happen.
Anybody know a good scanning app that could scan like a couple of documents or things and turn them into PDFs for the iPhone?
I would recommend, it doesn't turn them into PDFs, but I would highly recommend VoiceDream Scanner in terms of scanning OCR apps. I think it's the best scanning iPhone app out there today. I think it's even better than Seeing AI at this point. Seeing AI is free, so you might try that first. VoiceDream Scanner is a couple of bucks, but those are my two recommendations.
Looking for like a Twitter client for Windows, if anybody knows anything about that.
There's one that I've used. TW Blue is one that's been around a long time for Windows, and it's especially formulated to work with the common screen readers. I think it's available from twblue.es, Echo Sierra.
I use TW Blue. OpenTweens a little more difficult to set up. There is one more. A website that you can go to, which is called easychirp.com. I think that's the address of it. And EasyChirp is designed for screen reader users, and it's a way that you can read and interact with tweets online. It's a little funky, but it works.
Not for direct messages, though. They haven't kept pace with Twitter's API, so direct messages don't work anymore in EasyChirp.
I saw on the ATI page that the pre-ordering has started for the new Orbit. But I was wondering if there is any other source that might have them available already. I would be interested in the new Orbit 20.
I don't know how many distributors there are, but my guess is probably none of them at this point have them, because my guess is they're probably starting to get rolled out, and probably because of the virus and everything, that's probably why the rollout's been slower, because they're coming from probably China.
I've been looking for a addition to Windows Defender, looking for like another like antivirus software for Windows, and I did see a good one online being talked about called Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes has been around a long time. It's if it's a free version, it doesn't give you real-time protection. You have to pay for that. There's a free trial of it, though. Okay. For the most part, it's accessible. It's a little tricky, but if you're a reasonable, good screen reader user, you definitely get through it.
My understanding of it has always been that it is not an antivirus program, although it has some antivirus capabilities. It is primarily a spyware program.
Be forewarned that when you turn it on, it can run for 2 to 3 hours if you have a lot of stuff on your hard drive. I guess my biggest complaint about it is that when it returns the results to you, it has all kinds of code numbers for the bad files that it finds, and you're not exactly sure what it's finding. There is a better than average chance that you will delete something because Malwarebytes told you to delete it, and it was actually something that you wanted to keep.
To my knowledge, there is no antivirus program on the market that gives good, accessible, understandable results. I use Trend Micro, and it's minimally accessible, and I haven't found anything better than that.